Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Arlene Weber, and you're listening to Parenting Adventures, a show that brings brutally honest discussion about parenting to the fore. Caroline is sitting out today's episode, but joining me is Ali Johan from the Weekend Supplement team. And there's a reason for that. We're talking about dads today, modern dads to be exact, and Ali, I thought you'd fit the bill.
Yeah, I think I qualify solely because my daughter was born like 2 years ago. Mm. So that makes me very modern.
In that sense, only because she was born 2 years ago. All right.
When we got to talking about this, I'm a new parent, admittedly. And that means I have had to learn to change dirty diapers and wake up at night when my daughter wakes up crying. Mm. And I got to say it didn't feel natural for me to do it initially. And you know, people tell me, like, of course, it's not natural. You know, dads sleep all night because moms are the nimble ones. They make sure the kids go back to bed and stuff like that. Mm. But and then I learned about this whole old school parenting and new school thing.
Yeah.
And that really got me interested in picking up and actually just really helping out my parenting partner, my wife,
right,
to raise this child together. But I wouldn't say fathers do not have a paternal instinct. We all do, actually. But probably we were shaped, and this goes back way, you know, like ages back to how society have shaped fathers to play a role in a parenting partnership.
Exactly. It's very possible that men have always had this paternal instinct, but they don't necessarily act on it because society has said so. So, to be sure, I spoke with Dr. Chua Suk Ning, a clinical psychologist with Monash University. I asked her to first describe what a modern dad means.
Modern family. No, just kidding. Immediately, I'm thinking about show. Modern dad, I guess, opposed to what we conceptualize to be traditional fathering, quite distant, emotionally absent, strong figure, breadwinner. So as opposed to that, modern dad is hip, involved, likable, can I say that?
Likable,
likable,
yeah.
I think warm, very engaged with children, yeah.
So we're talking about braiding the daughter's hair, mm-hmm, changing diaper, yeah, without complaints, yeah, and all that, right?
I mean, you've probably seen it on Facebook, you know, the dad who is braiding his daughter's hair.
That's right.
And all the comments, you're like, oh man, what a mom who braids daughter's hair, whatever. She's just doing her job now.
Yeah, exactly. That's her job. Yeah. Okay, so why do you think dads these days are stepping up? Is it due to current environments? For example, the majority of mothers who, mm-hmm, are wives, mm-hmm, they have a career, mm-hmm, and they're not about to give that up once they have a child.
Right.
So is there some sort of compromise going on, you think?
Right. Actually, it's sort of been happening, this inverted commas revolution has been happening since the 1980s around in the States. So you actually do see this gender shift. Some people actually trace it to that movie, Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, brilliant
classic
movie.
Tell me, what's the matter?
I woke up this morning. I kept thinking about Billy, and I was thinking about him waking up in his room and with his little clouds all around that I painted, and I thought I should have painted clouds downtown because then he would think that he was waking up at home. I came here to take my son home. And I realize he already is home. I love him very much. I'm not going to take him with me.
And that, you know, it showed that the father actually really connected to the child. Even though the mom was awarded child custody, eventually went to the dad. So I think it sort of brought up the question that fathers can actually have a deep and meaningful connection to a child and have an important role to play, as important as mom. So you have that, I think, embracing of ideas and then more research going into it. About the negative consequences of absentee dads, the positive consequences of having dads involved. And so you mentioned working, but actually, even though they found that even with working moms are still far more involved than working dads. If for the unemployed mom versus the employed mom, dads are involved about 30% with the unemployed mom, and about the same for employed moms.
All right.
So they're not always just stepping up their game. Mm. They're just going some, you know, in terms of actually with responsibilities, you know, taking your child here and there, they're not necessarily doing more with employed versus unemployed moms. So moms have to juggle between the career and parenting. Yeah.
So mothers are still doing what they do best. Fathers are showing some initiative.
Sometimes, I mean, you have, well, in Malaysia, you don't have parental leave. There could be a stigma attached to fathers who stay at home. You know, how can you give up your career to look after the child? This is your wife's job. Why are you browbeaten by her? You know, henpecked to death. You know, what's the matter with you? So I think that the culture doesn't allow for that so easily still. Probably the most progressive nations would be the Nordic ones, Sweden and Norway. But even then, they found they get actually 480 days of parental leave that they can split between the wife and the dad, the father and the mom. But still, they find that often dads would give their leave to mom.
Mm.
So even when you can split it equally, they're not actually taking equal leave. So the government actually had to mandate that 1 or 2 months cannot be transferred. That has to take off.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm afraid to ask you if we'll ever see that culture here, whether we'll be more accepting of fathers who prefer to stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
Not prefer, but probably make the decision to stay at home to take care of the kids. As it is, when you see fathers who are more involved, the comments are always, oh, you're so lucky, to the mother, to the wife.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you picked a good man. Yeah. But why is it we are settling for that sort of excuse? What if the man really wanted to do what he's chosen to do?
Right. I mean, I think we still live in a very hierarchical society. Mm. It's still quite male-dominated. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of funny that if a man shows interest in the children, well, wife is lucky. And if a wife shows interest in the children, then that is like, well, that's your duty.
Exactly.
You know, so it's a given that you should. In reality, I do think that both parents should be involved. And there's a lot of research just showing the benefits of having both parents involved, even not just for the health of the child, but for the health of the mom. You know, moms have higher well-being when dads are involved. Not just an involvement, not just by providing money, not just the breadwinning job, or not just the disciplinary. So traditionally, you can say that, okay, dads will discipline and be the moral teachers, or dads will bring home the bacon and provide money. Women, we're still not the top earners yet. You know, there's still a discrepancy in salary. But nonetheless, you have more and more women in the working, and so able to provide an income, not necessarily depending on the husband to bring home the bacon. But, you know, so I think that you see this egalitarian shift, but nonetheless, there's still an expectation in a hierarchical society that women's role is to have a family and to take care of the children.
And the more we fail to recognize that parenting duties come from both mom and dad, there's no way that will ever break from what society tells us to do, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, and that's so sad, but so true. So when we return, I ask Sukhning if women are to blame as well for pandering to society's needs.
why are you crying? As if like men can't cry, or why are you so touchy-feely? And so we are perpetuating a stereotype that to be a masculine man, you have to be distant, you have to be cold, and you have to be strong. And so strength is not associated with emotions.
More after this on Parenting Adventures BFM 89.9.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition's Parenting Adventures with me, Arlene Weber, and BFM's rock dad, Ali Johan. The topic this evening is about modern dads, and we've been speaking to Dr. Chua Suk-ning, a clinical psychologist with Monash University. Suk-ning has been talking to us about the evolution of the modern dad, quote-unquote, and how this change happened and why.
Like we said earlier, in our society, there's this stereotype that fathers, they tend to be tough disciplinarians who show very little affection, both physically and emotionally. And I got to say, that's not how I parent my daughter with my wife. And Arlene, you and I were talking the other day about whether our relationship with our parents influence us to be the parents we are today.
Yeah, we did. And that's what I asked Suk-ning as well. Would a father who was tough on his son growing up result in the son yearning to be warm and loving towards his own children? And would he then be more appreciative of the fact that parenting is a two-way street? And could this also be what's contributing to the emergence of the modern dad?
Yeah, it could be. I think it really, again, it says, is it okay and is it acceptable for the now father then son to say, I want that kind of closeness? The stigma against it, I think, that's when even women are guilty of that by mocking that kind of softness, you know, and saying like, why are you crying? As if like men can't cry, or why are you so touchy-feely? And so we are perpetuating a stereotype that to be a masculine man, you have to be distant, you have to be cold, and you have to be strong. And so strength is not associated with emotions, which I think it's a, you know, really it's a false correlation, and I think strength can exist with emotion. Fortunately, I think with movies nowadays, we are seeing a little bit more of that. So it's permeating the, our culture through the media. So if the now father is allowed to say, "Hey, I actually really wanted a relationship with my dad," and admit that, and there's the support from the wife to be that kind of father, then yes, I think we can go forward. And you do see it, you know, sometimes grandparents or even the wife would say, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you spending so much time with your children? Or the wife would say, you know, you don't know what you're doing. Give the child to me. So I don't think that's necessarily, it's kind of funny to think about it, but empowering the man to be a father.
Sounds so contradictory, isn't it? We want so much from the men. And when they do step up, we tell them they don't know what to do.
Right.
It's terrible. How do you think this change has affected household dynamics, interaction between husband and wife, children to father, children to mother? You know, has this strengthened the couple's relationship as well?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, I think both parents can play equally important but different roles in the child's life. When the dad steps up, and by stepping up again, we mean just really being also emotionally available and accessible to the child and participating in child-taking activities, then the mom's mental health and happiness is improved. And so is the child, you know. What actually breaks a child down would be the conflict between the two parents.
In our Asian society, especially here in Malaysia, how do we encourage this sort of split responsibility between parents? How do we encourage that shift?
A good question. I think you could probably push that message across. But it's an interesting thing too, because I see now more and more parents, young parents particularly, having mates and leaving the child taking activities to the mate. So I don't actually know how that's going to change the dynamic. So we have that. man, family sitting at dinner together, but not really talking. Everyone's looking at their devices. So, you want to create that shift for dads to take a active role in leading the family or taking care of the children and being there for the wife. I think there's a fight for the family unit itself.
I think also that it needs to start. I mean, yes, it should start with us, but society is also not so forgiving. For example, in hospitals, mm-hmm. they have breastfeeding rooms mm-hmm. and changing diaper rooms mm-hmm. for babies, but men aren't allowed in.
Right.
So my husband has been in the situation where he's brought my daughter to the hospital, to the clinic, and he didn't know where to change our daughter.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, it starts with us, but it also starts with society. I mean, hospitals, I think, should get the message across.
Yeah. I mean, you can push the message, but if there's no way for you to actually carry out the message, then the message doesn't go anywhere. Any sort of societal change is always difficult. You know, you're going to be arguing against people that go, well, okay, that's your husband, but how many men are actually going to use the room? You know, does it warrant us actually building a separate place for fathers when, you know, it's like 1 in 100 are going to actually use it? Is this the best use of our money? And then you're going to be fighting against, I guess, women who then also go, yeah, you should actually improve the facilities for women because that's more heavily used. So I think, you know, when it comes to practical change, it's a fight. So you really actually have to get, dads got to band together. And that's what we see in the West, dads coming together and saying like, no, it is our right to care for our child. We want to. We're not forced to by our wives. We're not henpecked by our wives. We don't need to be ashamed that we care about and want to braid our child's hair. And being supported by women. Again, it's kind of an interesting shift where women now have to empower men to do these things. And it's good, you know, women, I'm not saying there's total gender equality in areas and that women aren't still receiving the short end of the stick, but particularly in parenting, that our default idea that women take care of everything. So if we think that's unfair, then we also have to fight for the rights of men to step up.
Yes, we should. I know a number of fathers who go the extra mile in doing their best, and I think it's completely unfair that some women don't stand up for them. Now, Ali, have you ever received that sort of brushing off as a dad, like you were made to feel as if you were not doing things right?
Unfortunately, yes. And this has come from elders in the family, my aunties, grand-aunties, peers even, people who are around my age who have more kids than I do. You know, 3 kids down and they have this way of what's right and wrong to be a parent. And I got to be honest, most of the time I'm not sure if I'm doing this parenting thing right or not, but I just do it because to me it's a fun process. And nothing feels better than having your child react or even follow your instructions after you've spent time with them, bonding and also getting to know each other. It's always a two-way street, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of being rigid with how I parent my children. And it's terrible. I admit it's terrible. And of course, my husband's parenting style works better at times, which naturally frustrates me, but it serves as a reminder to me that men are good at this parenting thing if women would only give them a chance.
On behalf of all daddies out there, I'm just lapping it up. So please, teruskan with the puji-pujian.
And on that note, we need to break for the news. But when we come back, we hear from Kian Ming, a father trying to manage being a parent and being a boss at his own company. Make sure you keep it here on Parenting Adventures BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is the Evening Edition. I'm Arlene Weber.
And I'm Ali Johan.
And you're listening to Parenting Adventures, where we're talking about modern dads today. Hence why Ali Johan has joined us this evening.
Yeah, so earlier we spoke to Dr. Chua Suk Ning, a clinical psychologist from Monash University, and she's breaking down who the modern dad is and why we see more of them around today. But what I found interesting was when she explained how women have a greater role to play in terms of empowering men, because it's almost a given assumption that women are primary caregivers, and when men do step up into the parenting game, it goes unnoticed. Mm. And it can sometimes be, you know, quote-unquote, the more natural caregivers, the moms, the nannies, having a better understanding or seem to think that men do not know how to go about these things. So it probably doesn't encourage men to become or to take on the more hands-on fatherly role.
Yeah, instead of encouragement, it's just, you know, belittling fathers, you know, and stopping them in their tracks to go further and do better, isn't it?
And from personal experience, they tell me to stand aside. They just go like, it's okay, leave this to us. You just go and sit down and read your newspapers or drink coffee.
And therein lies the problem. It's us. Yeah. We're the one creating the problems, and then we lament about it after that. Now we hear from another dad who shares with us how it's like to be a hands-on dad while managing his company as well. Qian Ming has two children under the age of 10 years and has been running his IT services business for 8 years. I ask him if he dives straight into being a parent when his child was born and the apprehensions he had doing so.
It actually coincides with my startup, the year that I started up the business. So not proud to say this. In the beginning, the first 2-3 years was really, the focus is a lot more on just the business and not so much on the kids.
Did you have a point of realization that you should have or you could have been doing much more with the kids as opposed to work?
Couple of years back, I joined this organization called EO, Entrepreneur Organization. What happens is we need to do this thing called Lifeline. Basically, it's just a simple chart of how your life has been up to today. Yeah, the highs, the lows. And when I start looking at 2008, 2009, 2010, I can remember vividly things that I do for my business. My first projects, my key customers, the deal size, but I couldn't put anything on my family, my kids. And that is where the realization, that aha moment that really overcame me and said, I think I need to do something. I need to do better. I feel guilty. There's the guilt part that says, you know, that 2-3 years already gone. But what I look forward is from that point onwards, I told myself, I make a commitment that I want to be there with my kids.
After that realization, what did you do to make that change possible?
Okay, so for a start, I spent a lot more time at home. That probably helps as well, because the first 3 years, whatever I need to invest, you know, put all my effort into the business is there. And by the third, fourth year, things are running better. I have a team, because when I start up, there's only 3 of us. So by year number 3, number 4, we have probably about 15, 20 people. But the key realization is I told myself there's only so many years that I will see them growing up. Yeah. And I also always hear this from other people. By the time when they are probably 13, 14, they may not even want to be with you. Yeah, so that's a realization that I have. Then I told myself I need to do something. And I remember when they started school in year one, I actually took 2 weeks off to fetch them to school. Yeah, one in nursery and one in year one. After 2 weeks, my realization is being a dad is not easy. Even though, you know, the 2 weeks I fully focus on them, sending them to school, because my wife is still working at that point in time. There are a lot of different challenges emotionally. I mean, not to mention physically as well, not enough sleeps and all this. But the emotion part is the one that I think it's a bit more challenging.
So emotion, like how? We rarely hear men spilling their guts out when it comes to emotion. Could you help explain what you mean by emotionally drained?
So you see, in our life as a business person, or as a person who runs a business, most of the time, it is still very old school for a part of me. You know, you give instructions, your team will follow through. If there's things that are not happening, you can make certain corrections. You can sometimes raise your voice. You can go through penalty systems or you can inspire them. So my realization at that point of time in the early stage of parenting is I actually applied the same philosophy, which again, I'm not proud of. It's like the expectation, you know, when I tell my children to do something and if they don't follow through, and I will be upset. Even though I know they are still a children, even now, at the age of 7 and 8, all of us are just human beings. Yeah. Even myself, at the age of 43, I'm still a kid, you know, not like every instructions I will follow through. Yeah. So I learned to address the emotion issue, you know, trade the, you know, expectation to appreciation. Yeah. So and one thing I learned a lot, especially in the last 2-3 years, is unconditional love. Yeah, it's easy to say, but it's very, very difficult to practice. Yeah. To me, unconditional love is no matter what my children do, or no matter what they do, no matter how they behave, I need to give unconditional love. Not like, you know, when they behave, I love them, and if they don't, I will penalize them. I think this is something that I'm still learning. It's a struggle, but I'm still learning. Yeah.
So, how do you deal with the parent guilt? You know, when you miss an important day of school.
So, I still feel guilty on and off because I do miss some of their events, some of their shows, some of their plays, but. Nowadays, I really make it a point to put it into my calendar because if it's in my calendar, at least I can make it a point. And I think for me, probably I have the privilege or the I can manage the time in my way because I run the business. So there would be always be a trade-off.
Even as someone who owns a business, how do you achieve this term that people love throwing around, work-life balance?
I struggle with work-life balance as well. Because there are many school of thoughts, but what I tell myself as well, the realization is we need to integrate. How I approach this is more like when I'm at home with my kids, I really, really try my best to be present. So even though if I can only spend 20 minutes with them before they go to sleep, that mobile phone syndrome, being able to put that aside, chuck that aside, and the ability to have the discipline to just not open that laptop. Yeah. So get them to sleep first and then probably spend a bit of time talking to my wife. And if I need to, then I will continue with work. Yeah, that is one way of it. The rest of it, like, again, I have the privilege. There are days that I can go back a bit earlier to even fetch my kids, send them to their swimming classes and whatnot. But there are days that I don't see them for probably 3 or 4 nights. But I do have some KPIs that I keep track. I really keep track on how many nights I go home for dinner, how many nights I have playtime with my children. That is part of the KPIs that I keep track.
Yeah, I suppose, like you said just now, you're probably luckier than most in the sense that you have your parents and your brother with you and probably a more solid support system. First of all, how important do you think a support system is? And second, do you think as well at the same time that a lot of married couples over-rely on these support systems?
So the way I look at it is, to me, the support structure is super important. But again, it is not everyone has that opportunity because some of us, you know, came from outstation or some other places. So I do understand that. But if there is an opportunity, my personal view on this is, you know, it's okay. There may be some inconvenience staying together, one whole bunch of people. And I am very grateful. My wife loves my mother. You know, she has no problem at all. But I really think there must be some support structure in place rather than just leave it to the helpers or just, you know, chuck them aside at the daycare center. And I know a lot of us doesn't have the options. But again, I don't have that answer for now on how we can do something better as a community.
Yeah. As a parent, it's easy to lose your identity, right?
Yep.
Because the sole focus is always on the child. And some say that's just the way it is and everything else needs to be placed on the back burner. But there are some parents who say that you are still an individual at the end of the day. An individual with wants and needs, and those needs should be addressed as well. What are your thoughts?
Right. I'm a true believer in working a balance of each component. So me and my wife, we do have our yearly plan and goals as well. Things that we want to achieve 5 years down the road. How we address it is, with children especially, what we do nowadays is every holiday, every school holidays, we make it a point to go out for a 2 days, one night trip. That could be just in the local. That doesn't mean that we have to go overseas. Me and my wife, we also make a pact that every year I would have my business trip, she would have her business trip as well. But we make it a pact that there would be at least one single trip, but this one we make it overseas, that we spend together for about 4 to 5 days or even 6 to 7 days. That coincides with a learning event. So that's how we handle our relationship. So to me, I think it's important that we should, there are many roles that we are playing, you know, myself as a father, as a son, as a husband, as a employer, and so on. So we need to be able to make sure that we deliver at each of these roles.
So tell us, what's your definition of a modern dad, and do you think you're one?
The way I look at it, this is a role that has existed, I don't know, since when. So naming convention can come in and out, you know, hands-on dad, modern dad, super dad. To me, I just understand that as a father, as a dad, we need to give our very best to our children, to our family, raise them in an environment that where they felt and received a lot of love. And to me, this will help them in getting their self-esteem to become a better person when they go out to the world. Sometimes we leave it to the teachers, we leave it to the tuition teachers, swimming class teachers and whatnot. But I think there is no better way to influence the kids, my kids, if I can play a very, very good dad role. So I would look at it into that rather than, you know, whether it's modern, traditional and whatnot, because there's only so many ways you can raise your kids.
So maybe we should just drop the labels and call it as it is, a dad. No modern, no hands-on, just dad.
I agree. Being a dad means being responsible for your children and family, and that doesn't mean you're in charge of just bringing in the dough. We split responsibilities with the wife right down the middle because, I reiterate, nothing feels better than having your child listen to you and want to participate because they understand what you are to them. And that level of security doesn't come with just holding them when they are born. Actually, it comes with a lot of time spent practicing. And again, I will say, I never really knew how to do this thing, but you just take it on, just like riding a bicycle maybe, just like learning up a new skill in anything you do. That's how your child will then build the security with a father or anybody who takes care of them in general.
So here's a shout out to all dads out there who are carrying out their duties the best they can. We know you exist, and women and children are thankful that you are who you are.
And I got to say thank you to our guests this evening, Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist from Monash University, and Lim Kian Meng, a dad.
A dad indeed. And thanks to Ali Johan too for being such a gracious host this evening.
You're most welcome.
If you missed any part of this program, just head over to bfm.my/parenting to download the podcast. This has been Parenting Adventures here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.